You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It is just that. Carlin with you, Chris, that is, on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Oh, a little over 24 hours away from the NFL. And I know I sound like I'm a little over the top with it, but I'm just that excited. Make sure that you are a part of ESPN Radio Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. My friends, it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, and we're going to get to an exceptionally disturbing take from Dan Orlovsky that we're going to have to deal with a little bit later on. One I know that is going to throw your day off completely, and I would just call it beyond disturbing, even alarming in so many ways. But that in just a little bit. We're going to begin today within 10 minutes, joined by Tim Hasselbeck to talk all things NFL, but the predictions across the league. Who ends up where? Who makes the playoffs? Who doesn't? Who wins the divisions? Who doesn't? And we're going to start in the NFC. And I have to start, first of all, in the NFC East. I really can't imagine what will be a more unattractive brand of football than what you're going to see this year in the NFC East. You have the Washington football team with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and a terrific defense, and Terry McLaurin. There is opportunity for art, beauty in that offense at times, and there is opportunity for just pure ugliness. It could look like a Jackson Pollock painting by the time it's all done, with just streaks and sprays all over the place, with a hodgepodge offense at times because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. I want to believe in their abilities to play well this year, and I think that they will, but it's going to be a middle of the pack type year that will see Washington slightly toward the top of a bad division. The New York Giants. Daniel Jones is perhaps the biggest question mark at quarterback in the entire NFL. Nobody knows what he is, and nobody knows what to do with him. He was the sixth overall pick a couple of years ago. The Giants have given him offensive playmakers to work with, but they have no offensive line, and their defense, while it should be improved, is suspect. The Giants went out and spent $200 million this offseason. Think about that for a second. The Giants went out and spent $200 million this offseason. And there's no reason to believe that they are going to be a top-tier team. When you spend that kind of money, like frankly the New England Patriots did this year, you expect to make that jump to being a top-tier team. Why would you think that about the Giants? Can they win this division out of pure a war of attrition? They absolutely can, and they will. I look at the Dallas Cowboys, and I can't help but think this is another year where you think on paper they should be so much better. If I have to hear about Dan Quinn and Micah Parsons one more time making such a huge difference for them, I am going to go out of my mind. Dan Quinn just got out of Atlanta, and I know how bad the defense was for the Cowboys last year. Look, they can take a major step forward, but it's still not going to be enough. And I don't trust Dak to stay healthy all season long. You know, it doesn't even just have to do with Zach Martin in game one. I'm really curious as to how Dak Prescott is going to handle himself this year with a shoulder issue that could be one that plagues him throughout the season, and an issue in terms of his leg that we don't know about, and he hasn't been hit at all yet. And then there's the Eagles. I love Jalen Hurts as a player. The Eagles are nowhere close to being a good football team. I think Hurts is going to be a really good quarterback. By pure attrition, the Giants are going to win the NFC East. To the north we go. This is a no-brainer. It's the Green Bay Packers. There's no reason to even look elsewhere. The Vikings have good players. I know what the numbers say about Kirk Cousins. You can have him. I don't think they're going to win big games with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback. Dalvin Cook's a great player, but beyond that, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, offensively, they're good. I don't think they're going to be able to stop enough teams, and I don't trust the Minnesota Vikings. I don't trust the Chicago Bears in any way. Defensively, they should be pretty good again. But what are they doing at quarterback? I mean, we have debates this morning going on about whether or not Nick Foles should be there, playing because of how bad their offensive line is before Justin Fields. That's loco. That's kooky talk. Justin Fields should be playing by week 4 or 5, but not at the beginning of the year because I don't want to roll him out there until I'm fully confident in his ability to understand and run that offense. And the Lions. Enough said. Packers in the NFC North. NFC South, again, no-brainer. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 22 starters back. No reason to think otherwise with the world champs. But the real interesting team is the New Orleans Saints. And I don't believe for a minute that the Saints are going to be very good this year. And everybody is talking up Jameis Winston and how Sean Payton is going to be his quarterback whisperer. Maybe Jameis Winston can be turned around. But I think by this point of your career, you are what you are. I know how much he threw the football around, and that's why he threw 30 interceptions a few years ago. He still threw 30 interceptions, and he's still somebody that has been turnover plagued throughout his entire career. I do not believe in the Saints because of the quarterback. The Falcons, there's really nothing to talk about. And I don't think there's a whole lot to talk about with the Panthers. They'll be improved. I love Matt Rhule as a coach. They're not there yet. NFC West, you know I'm all over the Rams. We talked about this yesterday. I am so high on Matthew Stafford this year, and high to the point where you might think I am actually high later on when we go through some of the awards. But the Rams have a very, very good defense. It may not quite be the same defense it was last year, but it's still excellent. And I'm believing that the Rams are going to win that division, but it's going to be contested because the 49ers are an excellent team too. And the Seahawks are not too far off. You have three double-digit win teams in the NFC West. Because of 17 games, you have three double-digit win teams in the NFC West. The Cardinals will be fun to watch offensively, but I don't believe nearly enough in what they can do defensively. So, here's where we are. NFC East, the Giants. NFC North, the Packers. NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the NFC West, the Rams. And as far as your wild card teams, I just told you, you have three double-digit win teams in the NFC West, the 49ers, the Seahawks, and the Washington football team, because of just how good their defense is going to be. You know, if you really take a hard look at the NFC, there's not much there that would really impress you all that much. Please give me the team in the NFC that we're not looking at, that we're not giving enough respect to, that deserves respect. Are you done looking? You should be, because that's how long it takes to find them. They don't exist. And so this all leads to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and Brady's ability to potentially lead them back on defending their championship. Let's hear from Brady on the challenges that will show to the Buccaneers this season.
You know, what we did, no one could take away from us. So in one way, you're not really defending it much. You know, it's kind of in the books and, you know, they can't take away what we've done. It's really just a whole nother year in experience. So I think it's just more of, you know, we got a chance to go out and play the 2021 team the best we possibly can. I think, you know, as good as we were, as we played, you know, with the same group of guys, I'd love to see us, you know, see where we can get this year. But again, it's all of it's earned. There's nothing given. You know, it's not about a bunch of hype or a bunch of build up and BS. You know, we got to go do it. And I think that's about a bunch of guys that are really mature that see ourselves as professional athletes, and you know, we want to go out there and we want to put our best out there.
There has never been a player that has been hungrier to win than Tom Brady. One thing that he continually said and that we hear all the time, though, can you answer me this question? Whoever is trying to take away your achievements, who is actually out there trying to say, you know what, take away that championship? Who's trying to take it away? They always say nobody can take it away from you. Who's trying to snatch it? I don't know. You went out and you did it. That's all that matters. And now Brady is constantly turning the page, and that's why the Buccaneers are going to find their way back to the Super Bowl. I fully believe that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Now, as far as the opener, this could be really, really ugly for the Dallas Cowboys. How ugly? Greeny, he laid it out for you today.
People are way into football right now. It's the Cowboys, for crying out loud, against Tom Brady. It's the sexiest matchup you could ever possibly have. And unfortunately, the Cowboys are going to get obliterated. This is unfortunate reality, is that they're going to get killed. Dak is going to be rusty. The offensive line is going to struggle. You don't want to be missing Zach Martin when you're playing against Ndamukong Suh and Vita Vea and all the rest of those guys. And so all the things that I'm hearing about how their defense is going to get better under Dan Quinn and Zeke Elliott is in the best shape he's been in since college and all these things, which are probably true. Either they have great offensive weapons and Dak is going to put up huge yards as the season goes on. Probably true. Those things will all happen. They're not going to happen Thursday. I'm sorry to say Dallas is going to get crushed Thursday night.
I got the number at 21. How about that? And I know how many Cowboys fans are around the country. And it has struck me that so many more Cowboys fans right now are really, really concerned about this team, about where it's headed, and very negative about what this season could really show in terms of what's going to happen. You know, they don't believe that this team can really do anything that is of any achievement this season, and I find that hard to believe. Please check in with your take as to why the Cowboys are actually going to be good this year and are not just going to be paper tigers. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Good to talk to this man. We are headed to the Goodyear hotline right now to welcome in ESPN NFL analyst, of course, of the ACC network as well. That is former Boston College and NFL quarterback Tim Hasselbeck, who joins us right now. Tim, it's Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. What's going on, my man? How are you?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing well. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I think Giants camp circa 2010, if I'm not mistaken. It's been quite some time. But nonetheless, Tim, you know, I start by talking about Dak Prescott quite a bit. And I can't get past the notion that he has not been hit at all in training camp one bit. And the first time he's going to get hit is going to be by one of the best defenses in the NFL, if not the best, without his best offensive lineman and their best offensive player in Zach Martin. And I can't help but be worried. Can you talk me out of being worried?
I wish I could.
Tim, when you take the deep breath, I know where we're headed.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is obviously not the perfect scenario here, right? I mean, really what would have been much better for Dak is, you know, he rehabs all offseason with the, you know, ankle injury, and then he comes back to training camp and he gets a massive amount of work and he's feeling good about things and they've got a healthy offensive line and they're ready to roll, and maybe they play a little bit less experienced and not as good football team. Kind of feel like, you know, you're back riding your bike again. And I don't think that's going to be the scenario. And so, look, I don't think we have to be worried about his kind of health and safety. for this Cowboys football team to open the season.
Tim, are they a playoff team this year, or do they look like one of those paper Cowboys teams that we've seen in years past where they end up being an 8-9 win team at best?
Yeah, look, I'm going to be transparent for consistency here. I have not chosen them to win the division, and I do not believe that there are going to be two teams coming out of the NFC East. So I have not chosen them, you know, to be a, or picked them to be a playoff team. All that to say, Chris, I mean, let's be honest. Like, sure, I'm picking Washington to win the division, but Dallas could win the division. You know, I mean, this isn't, you know, we're not forecasting, you know, Jacksonville to win the AFC South here, but by saying that this is a toss-up in that division. It's really, in my opinion, a pretty significant toss-up between, you know, Dallas and Washington. So, like, are they a playoff team? Look, if they win the division, they're a playoff team. Are they a legit Super Bowl contender? I don't believe that they are. I think there's a lot of uncertainty that we should feel about this team in that they've got a brand-new defense coordinator because the defense was so bad last year. You know, they've got a quarterback off of a big injury who missed a bunch of training camp, an offensive line that has guys coming off of significant injury. You know, their play caller on defense is going to be a – you know, is going to be a rookie player. I mean, I think there are a lot of factors that you can say, you got to prove me right before I think you're a legitimate contender.
Tim Hasselbeck, of course, ESPN NFL analyst and of the ACC Network as well, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. Tim, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, at this juncture, after all the drama of the offseason, considering where they were last year, for Aaron Rodgers, is it Super Bowl or bust at this point?
I think it is. I think if they win a Super Bowl, he's wearing a Packers uniform next year. I think if they don't, then he's playing somewhere else. But I think that is where we are with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I've kind of, you know, felt that before. We're kind of jaw-dropping. But I think that's the case. I think if they win the Super Bowl, it's impossible for them to move on from him. And I think that he'll have a pretty, you know, heavy hammer to.
I think we lost. Oh, there he is. We lost you for a half second there, Tim.
I just think he's going to pursue. I think he would pursue another opportunity if he can, if they don't win at all.
Tim, of the rookie quarterbacks out there, besides the obvious ones that we know that are going to play in Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, who should be playing immediately, who shouldn't be playing immediately?
Well, I think Justin Fields should be playing. And so I guess that's really the one. You know, in terms of Lance, you know, I think you have to play him. You know, here we are in September, and he's played one game in, I forget how, I think it's like 18 months or something. You know, I mean, essentially, like, you can't get better as a quarterback by not playing. You know, so I think the tricky part for him is that he had the broken finger, and he's just not ready. So if he were healthy, I think you have to start Lance. And truthfully, I think Justin Fields actually gives Chicago a better chance to win. So like, I guess that means I come down, you know, on the side of you get better by playing, not by watching. And, you know, we talked about it on Get Up this morning, Chris. Like, well, what about that hit in the preseason that Justin Fields took? And you want to protect him from those. That's true. But, you know, it's kind of like when you tell somebody, you know, not to put their, you know, finger on a hot stove, like, you can tell them all you want, but until they, you know, get a blister on their hand, they might do it, you know, or think it's a good idea. You know, you learn quicker by the experience than having somebody tell you something or watching somebody else do it. And so I think all those guys should be playing.
And here's a news flash. You can get hurt in any NFL game at any point. Yeah. So it doesn't even necessarily have to come down to that. All right, Tim, last one. Of the teams around the league that we're talking about as playoff teams, is there one Or is there even a team that's not a playoff team that people have really discussed that jumps out to you, not getting the respect it deserves? The ones that you have to really pay attention to know that this is a better team than people think.
I will say this. I'm going to give you a couple because I think one doesn't totally fit your description of, and so I'm kind of giving you a different answer. Pittsburgh Steelers, to me, are a team that everybody has nailed the coffin shut.
I'm one of them.
And listen, here's the deal. Their quarterback threw three times as many, more than three times as many touchdowns than he did picks. 33 touchdowns, 10 picks last year. And everyone's saying he's done. You know, they had a bad offensive line last year. I trust that front office to fix it. They've got a much better runner than they had a year ago. They've got a very good coach. Like, to me, that is a team that, like, I want to be later to that party to say that they're done. There's too many good pieces there for them to find ways to win, in my opinion. Yes, their division's getting harder, but I think that they're a team that's going to be hard for people to face. And I'll give you another one. I'll stay in the AFC. How about the Tennessee Titans? Yeah, it's almost like, oh, hey, Arthur Smith left. Their offense isn't going to be good anymore. Like, I'm not ready to go there. Ryan Tannehill's been excellent the last 2 years. Their runner is incredible. They've got a very good offensive line. They added Julio Jones to go opposite A.J. Green. And when you look at them, I think they won 11 games last year. They were awful. I mean, like, almost historically bad on third down a year ago. I'm going to trust that Mike Vrabel fixes that somewhat. Because if they can get a little bit better on third down, like, they might be a 14-win team. In their division, they might be able to run through it if the Colts can't get good quarterback play.
Tim Hasselbeck, awesome stuff as usual. Thanks for the time, brother.
See you, Chris. Good to be on with you.
Yep. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and of the ACC Network. We didn't even get into the ACC, which had a rough first weekend of the year. Joined us on the Goodyear Hotline with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Up next, Tim was talking about the Steelers a moment ago and why everybody is maybe putting the nail in the coffin a little bit too soon. But there is a major problem in Pittsburgh right now, and it doesn't surround the quarterback for once. That in just moments. Now is the time to celebrate. The NFL is finally back, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has millions of reasons why you should be excited. To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new customers a free shot at $1 million as a top prize, with $4 million up for grabs for Thursday's opener. Getting in on Thursday night's single game showdown is easy. Draft six players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition. Head to the app now. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at $1 million payday. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code PLAY this week. New customers can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize and $4 million in total prizes. Enter code PLAY to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code PLAY only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Problems in Pittsburgh. Next, Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
As a fan, this is amazing. This is the time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson, and I'm ready.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons and the Utah Utes. Watch out for them. They're ready.
This is Sarah Spain, and I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and continues all day on ESPN Radio.
If they don't figure out how to have a run game this year, then we will see Ben struggle.
You give that guy a good running game, he's going to be that much more dangerous.
So I wanted to come back to be a part of what I think is a special football team that everyone's overlooking, which is kind of cool too.
Tim Hasselbeck saying that people are giving up on Ben Roethlisberger too soon. I'm one of those that has, frankly. Chris Carlin with you on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Ben Roethlisberger's not the problem in this slight instance for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know the numbers that he put up last year. I also saw what he was at the end of last year, and he looks like an older quarterback who can do damage for maybe the first half of the season, but then he peters out the rest of the way. And we saw what happened in the playoff game against the Browns. It was ugly, interception laden early before on the comeback trail. He's chucking it all over the lot because they have no choice otherwise. And yes, he threw the football 600 times last year, and that was a major problem for the Steelers. Here's the bigger problem right now. This TJ Watt deal is not done yet. And if you think no big deal, be careful here. Be careful. I am not 100% convinced that TJ Watt plays on Sunday in Buffalo if a deal is not done. Here's why. You know, his semi-holdout this year, a team-sanctioned holdout during training camp where he was at camp, but he didn't take part in any kind of team drills and was only in individual drills. Well, the team doesn't mind that all that much when you have a player who has 50 sacks in his first four NFL seasons. The guy's been ridiculously productive. He's been amazing. And he deserves all the credit in the world for what he has done. But the Steelers are trying to stick to what has been their plan lo these many years with all the players that are not quarterbacks. And part of that is, well, to a veteran on his second contract, we're never going to give you the first more than the first year fully guaranteed. And that's just, frankly, it's idiotic and it's not reading the room when it comes to TJ Watt. And it's one of those little things that can really break down this entire negotiation. Listen to Ben Roethlisberger this morning talking about TJ Watt. There's plenty of good and plenty of bad in here.
I think TJ should get whatever the heck he wants. He's arguably the best football player in the game right now, not just on defense, just in general. You know, I've been through a few negotiations here with contracts. You know, one of the reasons I took less money was for guys like him to get paid, and he needs to get paid. He deserves every penny that he wants and asks for. And so, you know, TJ Watt is that guy that should get whatever he wants.
All right, so Ben, magnanimous move on his part to take a pay cut. So he's only third highest ever in NFL history in terms of career earnings at $253 million. He probably would have passed Drew Brees at $269 million. I'll tell you what, Ben, you are on just the highway to heaven with that kind of magnanimous gesture to take a pay cut to, what, $23 million this year, or whatever it is, to make sure that TJ Watt gets paid and others get paid. Really, top-notch teammate right there. Took every dollar all along, but okay, now this is why I took a pay cut. It's great to see him support his teammate. The Steelers, so many times before, have been right with how they have handled themselves in these negotiations. We discussed this a little bit yesterday. You can go year by year through all of their successful years in the late 90s and 2000s of the players that were there, that were incredibly productive, and that they let go and were able to replace easily. From James Harrison to Jason Gildon to Kevin Green, you name it, they have come and gone in Pittsburgh. But right now they have two players that do not fall into that category that they have to take care of. And one of them is TJ Watt. When you have that level of production, this is elite level. This is level that you do not let get out of town. And because you have these rules in place that you treat as hard and fast rules, that you're not going to guarantee beyond the first year, you have to understand it's a little bit like when you discipline players. I'm going to treat everybody fairly, but I'm not going to treat everybody the same. That's how this needs to be handled. Pittsburgh, when it comes to TJ Watt, needs to go the extra mile. Somehow Mike Tomlin still finds himself very optimistic that we will see TJ Watt on Sunday and this situation is going to get resolved. Here's the Steelers head coach.
I remain optimistic that something's going to get done from a deal perspective. You know, I'm expecting him to work tomorrow. I focus very little on those that aren't working for whatever reason that they're not working. I tend to focus my energy on those that are. You know, like I mentioned, I'm proceeding with the assumption that he's working tomorrow and he gets to add his talents to that collection and the development of that collection. And hopefully it culminates in quality play, not only this weekend from that group, but obviously over the course of the 2021 season.
I have to tell you, if I'm TJ Watt, I wouldn't play on Sunday if I didn't get the money or get the deal done. I wouldn't. Generally speaking, in the NFL, I side with the player 99% of the time, and this is absolutely in that category because this is a different level player. They're a great organization, and they have known when to get out each and every time. Right now, is not the time to get out on a player like TJ Watt. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. My friends, there was just an utter disgrace, an abomination that took place on the airwaves today. Ignorance, thy name is Dan Orlovsky. Say what is next? Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide, and you can get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. No contract. All on America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Orlovsky gets it next. Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn Johnson.
They don't want to forfeit games based on your beliefs.
Jay Williams.
From knowing Justin Fields, I think his mindset is better when he's thrown to the wolves.
And now, Max Kellerman.
Trevor Lawrence, it looks like he's the guy struggling the most with the speed of the NFL.
Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
I'm visibly angry on the road this morning listening to Greeny. Really, I mean, I almost drove into the barrier on Route 1 in New Jersey. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tune in to a National League battle tonight. The Cardinals hosting the Dodgers. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. All right, with that, how about a little say what with Raj Groves?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, first thing we're going to hear from our friend, which you're so disgusted about, which you've been teasing all morning. You heard him. Let's put it out there. Here's Dan Orlovsky this morning with Greeny.
How in the world can you say that oatmeal raisin cookies are superior to chocolate chip cookies?
Texture and taste. The chocolate chip cookie is completely dependent on the chocolate chip. I think milk chocolate is gross. Dark chocolate is better. And when was the last time you had a chocolate chip cookie? You're like, man, this is amazing. They're basic.
Yesterday? Can we get rid of this guy?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's such an outrageous take.
When was the last time you had a chocolate chip cookie that was... What? Get rid of this guy.
Do you know the only time... Yeah, Bubba's disgusted by you. Do you know the only time I ever eat an oatmeal raisin cookie is when I pick it up thinking it's a chocolate chip cookie, and then you bite in accidentally because they kind of look a little alike, and you're like, wait, what is this?
And then you're like, I'm so happy I made that mistake. Chocolate chip cookies become great cookies when you dip them in milk. Oatmeal raisin cookies are great cookies when they stand alone.
Listen, stick to football. You know a lot about that.
I have to tell you. Like,
preach, Dan. Preach. I mean, that man preached the gospel. But Raj, I hear you disagree. Let me hear you talk about it.
Raj, I mean, the fact that you're on Dan's side on this is just, it makes me, when I hear ridiculously bad food takes, it makes me dismiss other takes. Now, look, I'm not going to argue. Dan knows so much about football. The Darnold take, okay, this is right up there with the Darnold take. But nonetheless, I don't know if there's ever been a more disgraceful thing said on ESPN radio than was said this morning on Greeny. And Greeny could not have been more right. Bubba, I could not be more proud to be working with you right now after you stand up immediately. We're ready to put an end to the interview yourself.
Oh, my God. I mean, when have you last had a chocolate chip cookie that tasted good? I went to the calf today. I got one. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, we're doing this. So I bought a second one because I knew we were going to be talking about chocolate chip cookies. I mean, there's something that I could have just infinitely. I can eat one, then another one, and then another one. The chocolate chip cookies are probably one of the greatest things ever made.
It's an awful take. I have never in my life had a bad chocolate chip cookie. And Raj is somehow Team Oatmeal Raisin. Explain yourself.
Are you on his side?
Well, for one, chocolate chip, they just taste They're the king of They just taste
generic. Not the king of anything. Next.
Oatmeal raisins are awesome soft, and you can gain vital nutrients in oatmeal raisin cookies. At least they're a little bit healthy for you.
There are so many things here that are wrong with that. Number one, when I'm eating a cookie, I'm not looking for vital nutrients. That's just the way it is. There's no reason to bring actual nutrition into this discussion.
Yeah, if that's not what it's about. I mean, just get out of here.
Exactly.
All right, let's move on to something that you...
The only thing that makes oatmeal cookies better is chocolate chips. Put it that way. Done. Enough said. Right.
Let's move on to something that you do love, and that is birthdays. We got a birthday in the
house. All right. Oh, yes. Let's celebrate ourselves for no achievement.
Well, Pink turns 42 today, all right? Pink. Mm. You like Pink? Can you get with some? I know you love Kiss, but can you get into some Pink as well?
Yes, I do like Pink. I do like Pink. Get the party started. That's solid. Uh-huh. Just like a pill. Very, very good. Very good. High, big respect for Pink. Love Pink.
All right. You like Pink more than birthdays? Is it safe to say?
Much more.
Okay.
I respect Pink more than birthdays.
Hey, you remember that Safu with the Broncos quarterbacks last year? Remember when they all couldn't play?
Apparently, when Kendall Hinton started.
The Broncos quarterbacks apparently tried to fool close contact tracing, and that's why Goodell made them play. What do you think about that?
I think they're idiots for trying to fool technology. They had surveillance everywhere. They put their little contact tracers in each corner, and then they sat together. You had to sit together to learn? What the hell is that? Is this grade school? I mean, come on. That's amateur hour, and the fact that you got caught... To me, they did the right thing by making you play a wide receiver at quarterback. Frankly, you deserved it. That's it. Come on. Don't fool technology.